If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
I just want to say, last week, I listened to our podcast this morning. Last week, I was not in a good form, and I'm in really happy form today.
That's great.
Oh, yeah. Are you microdosing?
Microdosing on success.
That's great.
Nah, I'm maxing out success. I'm hoofing fat lines of success every morning, getting me going.
Give us your car key to hoof that line of success.
Can't say much. Let's just say Amy Huberman. That's who I was talking to this morning. So,
were you?
Yeah, I know she's your best friend or whatever.
She is. I'm a very good friend.
Yeah.
Our families play together.
Who wants a scoop about Amy Huberman? I'll tell her. I'm sure she wouldn't mind. I saw her in the car park, and then I told her when I met her, I was like, oh, I saw you in the car park. And she's like, oh yeah, I had to text Brian to get him to organize the parking, which I think is cool.
That's cute.
He has to text, do the app for her, for her car.
Terry does that.
And I would like a husband, but I think I want a straight husband.
Really? Interesting.
And I am a woman.
Don't tell Ray.
Something like
so,
that.
Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like.
So are you straight?
And a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy.
It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
I'm talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the Moon!
It's Mahlum Rira. Tony?
It's Evin Lum Rira.
I like Rira, but I love Rira.
Prefer, is it even prefer? Or love?
It's I think Farlum? Even Lum.
It's Farlum.
It's Farlum as I prefer.
Tom Broner.
It's also my favorite. Rira is my favorite. It's Farlum, eh?
It's Farlum Rira.
Tom Broner.
Rira.
Which is why I ectole Rira.
Ni rev ain Rira agum, agus fi Broner.
Ni rev im Makar. My car is broken because knee rev in it.
Tom McGlushlan, gun rev.
In my other car. My other car. At Rerob here on Instagram.
I don't know.
So where is Raymond's gayness getting in the way at the moment?
It's just that like we are so much more, we're not gay people. We get to choose our family. No, gay people, because you're much, there's no set roles. Like, there's no things, like, straight people, whether they like it or not, are under the thumb of tradition and things.
Mm.
And that, like, Brian O'Driscoll has to do that for her because he is the man. If there is a mouse in the house, the man gets out the mouse. Things like this. So yes. We have to figure, you have to pick and choose what are your roles. But I would love sometimes to just be a little princess, like Amy Huberman, and have Raymond organize things for me.
That's fair.
Bagsy
That's
Princess.
Fair. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Bagsy Video Games. Damn it.
Bagsy Top and Princess.
You have to lower the tone.
Sorry.
No, and that is buggery, and that should be re.
No, it is.
It should be put against the law again.
It is a Christian podcast.
This is a Christian podcast, yes. And I agree with the priest and. We should outlaw the gays.
I do
more.
Find it funny, you know, old English women, they sound like they might spill a bit of tea and they go, oh, bugger. Like, yeah. Oh, like,
fuck up the hole.
Fuck up the hole. Fuck up the hole. What? I'm after spilling a bit of milk. Oh, bugger.
Bishop, your bugger, pass me the sugar. Did you ever hear that joke?
No.
Shit, I shouldn't have said that.
I was wondering what's on the gay agenda today.
Yeah.
Gay agenda today, we're trying to think, well, we had, well, just the local.
Yes.
We had our local meeting, Dublin South Gays.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to think of, like, globally, the bigger picture is, like, how can we destroy kids' lives?
Yes.
We need to try and convince all kids to be, you know, whatever. So it's just trying to pick and choose.
What kind of cartoons, what IP are you making gay now at the moment?
Yeah.
Just to kind of change it, like...
Well, we've had great success re-gayifying Alexander the Great recently.
That's great. I've seen that.
That's
yes,
been going really well for us.
That's good.
We're trying to get a reboot of the Teletubbies, except much more explicit. Like, obviously, there was some Tinky
Sort of like Teletubbies meets Berghain kind of thing.
Yes. Like, Tinky Winky obviously was, you know, a non-binary icon before we even knew that phrase.
Ooh, Lulu?
No, Tinky Winky.
Tinky Winky.
Carried a handbag.
No, Lala had the hat, I always felt was the very...
Did Lala have
Lala had the kind of the cow skin top hat.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's very lesbian.
Yeah.
That's lesbian. Butch lesbian.
Oh, very foreign.
And what about when they did Ocean's 8? Was that gay agenda? Or was that, what's that?
Ocean's 8. Was that
it was like all woman.
It was women, so I was wondering, is that gay agenda?
Why do they keep, they've done a few things like that of they're all women. And they're a bit crap, the film, then. That's what.
Well, that's because the idea starts with they're all women, and instead of starting with what's a good story, and you know what might be interesting is if we actually got all women.
Yeah.
Who, or who are the best actors to do this would probably be actually Kate Blanchett and, you know, so and so. You know, that's the unfortunate thing.
Marvel, do you fancy Sandra Bullock?
I do in Speed.
Right.
When she was young.
Right. You hate her now?
I don't hate her now, but.
I kind of fancy her, I think.
Of course. It's Sandra Bullock.
Her
German,
face is kind of really weird.
Half-German icon like me.
Fluent German,
is she?
Yeah, yeah. She did an award speech in Germany and she said, Danke.
Oh, that's cute.
Which is funny. It's the German kind of American accent.
Oh. Danke.
Danke, ich bin sehr, you know, enttäuscht. Vielen Dank for these...
That's nice.
These, sehr, you know, ich bin total...
but she does, she is a fluent German speaker.
Yes, she is, but she just has, like I have an accent.
She has a kind of... Sandra, she has the face of kind of like, you know, like a rubber, like a pencil eraser that you've, like, poked the two eye holes in. Do you know what I mean? We poke two pencil holes.
Say it again.
She kind of looks like an eraser that you've poked two pencil holes in to give eyes.
Yes.
She kind of has that look, like the kind of eye, you know, her eyes are kind of like...
She does good,
they're
kind
small,
of shocked and worried.
And she's got a big head.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You know,
okay, I'm with you on that.
And a flat mouth. Look up a pencil eraser.
Okay.
There's so many versions of her. There's so many versions of Sandra Bullock.
The Net.
Yeah, she was in, like, thrillers.
Miss Congeniality.
Many rom-coms.
Yeah, she's very... Yeah.
Yeah.
Then she was in many films where it's tough for
Princess,
her, but against all the odds, triumphs.
I thought Miss Congeniality for the first bit, she was ugly. She was rotten.
No, but and Tony, then, if you'd watched further, you'd have noticed.
I looked at the poster and I thought, well,
further,
that's a smoking looking broad.
No.
And then I watched the first 15 minutes and I'm like, she's ugly.
No, so what they do
How
is...
How could anyone ever
no,
see
but imagine,
her?
Imagine that character, but then they took the glasses off.
Huh?
Yeah. So they took her glasses off.
And like one of these?
And then they took her ponytail out. Just like what you're doing now.
One of those kind of shoes all
oh
that moment.
Oh my God. Oh my God. My heart is fluttering.
Tony, that was a bit sexy, wasn't
that
it?
That was actually pretty sexy. But Tony Cantwell, Jesus.
Apart from
I don't
my
know,
eyes going cross. Because
there's some interference with the mics because what just happened there was that was quite erotic.
You know who I'd retire though? Cate Blanchett.
Shut up. Shut
are
up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Shut up. Bullshit. Bullshit. Bullshit.
No, for real. I'm kind of like, I have, when people become megastars, I'm less interested in seeing the films that
have
they're in.
Have you seen Tar?
No, I haven't seen Tara.
Okay, watch
okay,
Tara.
But then
yeah, but is she
off.
Not just Sorry. Doing it? Like,
no, she's
the same
very good. No, she
you know
she
I mean?
Has she has created a such a real character in Tara, in Lydia Tara, that you would actually believe, like, okay, hang on, is Tara like a real person based on someone? And it isn't. But like her whole thing is like she was you know, taught by Bernstein and all this. And but like it's such a like, oh, she has full understanding of this character.
Yeah. I want to say
cadence,
two things.
You know,
one thing I want to say is I'm open to that. I'm not close-minded person.
I'll get Kate on the phone. She'll be delighted to hear.
The second thing I think is that we've mentioned this Bernstein. This may be the third week in a row. Mm. I don't know who that is.
You don't know Leonard Bernstein?
No.
Have you seen the film Maestro?
I is that what that is? And Bradley Cooper is someone actually sent me a message about this the other day and said, "Do it this what you will," and it was about him saying, "I wanted him to come into me," meaning like the character, whatever. But Bradley Cooper lost his mind now and he's with Bernstein's children, saying, "I miss him," despite never having met him.
Yeah,
Bradley Cooper is just so desperate.
Leonard Bernstein,
yes,
is the first great American composer.
Composer and or he, conductor? Was he
composer? And he He didn't actually compose that much, but he was a conductor. He was an interpreter of music and stuff like that.
It's kind of what you just said.
But he also composed.
But the European composers would have been.
But I think he started off in musicals. He made a famous musical about three sailors who have one night off in New York City. Have you ever seen that? That's a famous one.
No.
No, well, he was wasted his time in musicals for a long time.
It seems essential queer.
Sometimes there are just blind spots.
But he was... then he went into proper composing or whatever. But he did loads. He wrote stuff. He was a big deal. He was an icon of New York and American music of the 20th century.
Yeah.
And as I said, my friend Donald
Doom. The 1900s.
Doom.
Your friend Donald Doom.
My friend Donald Doom.
Yeah.
Said
he was a good lay.
Well, I've never found out.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, Cate Blanchett, because of Lord of the Rings and because of being the best actor on the planet Earth at the minute, deserves to stay.
She is also otherworldly beautiful, I think. I think she's an absolute fucking star.
Oh yeah, no, I wasn't commenting on her looks.
And the
best
I was actor
just
girl.
Thinking of I'm finished with it.
That's good.
Finished with that, like.
That's good. Do you know what I love about this podcast? It's kind of like no one's talking about Cate Blanchett. I don't like Cate Blanchett. No one's talking about Bernstein. I don't know what about Bernstein. Yeah. This is what the Zoomers are thirsty for. This is what they adore. This is what they fucking lap up.
And a Zoomer is Gen Z.
Gen Z, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can I say, we started this podcast. Okay,
I thought you were going to speak French there for
in
a second.
In the lunch.
Can I say,
it's
that noise I made that. It's lunchtime. We usually record in the morning. So we've got a lot of lunch going on.
We do.
We've got a lot of lunch going on in Dublin today. We're standing outside. Your turn, Tony Campbell. Wait your turn.
Yet again, excited. It's another Shane and Killian section that you are not involved in.
Okay.
So we were outside the wonderful podcast studio.
Taking in a gorgeous day.
The sun is shining in Dublin City. I love this city so much. And a man is getting a delivery for his lunch. And he shouts across to us. He sees the two of us. And he says, "Oh, love the podcast." And we go, great. And he's like, "You can mention my Japanese." And we said, "Oh, what do you have?" And he said, "A poke bowl." And I said, "God, a poke bowl." I turned to Shane. I said, "That's a really nice thing to have in the afternoon for lunch."
He did say it was actually for someone else in the office.
Yeah.
And if I'd known it was such a junior member of staff we were speaking to, I wouldn't have engaged them for so long.
No, I didn't know.
But I didn't know it was a lackey.
A lackey, yeah.
I'm picking up delivery for someone else. It was
Young Hot Guys, the podcast for the lackeys and the cooks all around Ireland.
The simps. Don't forget the simps.
The simps, the cooks, the lackeys.
Yeah.
We provide for all. Anyway, really nice. Pokeball, lovely thing to have in the afternoon for his boss.
He was having
something
it.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Something light.
And then Tony strolls up.
Yes.
Tony?
I had a snack box for lunch.
You had a chipper for lunch.
I actively sought it out. And I feel fucking amazing about it. I feel terrific about it. I felt like I had a good gig last night. I wanted to give myself a little treat. And I was like, I went over to the Lido there on Pier Street. You know, they're making a comedy about that for RTE.
Yeah.
And went in there. They had a little mini box. One little thai of chicken, a lot of chips in it, loads of salt. It was absolutely delicious and divine.
And what time did you get this nap?
I got this about 1 o'clock, about 1:15. And I was walking down the street eating it like a little fucking, like a mongoose, like a little,
behavior.
So weird. But I just wanted it. And it was like, I was going to go get like a burrito or something. And they were like 12 quid. I'm like, fuck. That noise.
Yeah.
That's rice and beans.
It's much like the FAI League. We need, what is it called now?
League of Ireland.
League of Ireland.
The air
you must get out there and support your local chipper.
Yeah.
Like, because
they get
people
support.
Are getting this, that, and the other. Oh, we got delicious such and such from such and such place. Get out there and support your local chippers.
Get out there, support your local chipper.
Like it's, you know, there's one thing that's so worse for me. Like there's a lovely deli there. Like it could have got like a BLT. That probably would have been worse than getting the chips.
I read a thing that said that the chipper's actually, if you're getting a takeaway, the chipper's actually the healthiest.
That's
written by the National Chipper Association of Ireland.
Maybe I read that in a chipper, but it's healthier
than
this
study was conducted by Mariano's, the Lido family.
It's a greasy piece of paper.
The Marcello family.
Is it not healthier than a spice bag?
It's healthier than a spice bag. Do you know what I've realized about the Chinese people? No.
Okay.
I have to stop ordering just what the stodge is on the Chinese. Because normally What I know is a good Chinese is if it has its own spice bag section, right? If all the things that I'm ordering are not just in the extras section, do you know what I mean? Like everyone seems to be ordering from the extras, chicken yeah. balls, your rice, your chips and all that. You have to be ordering from like extras. Like I want that front and center. But anyway, I realize when I order my big stodge, I think there's only 3 minutes of joy that I get out of it. I think when I put it up, when I played it up, it's looking good. After about 3 minutes, I'm just so depressed. Like within 3 minutes, yeah. and I'm done with it. I think I need to move on just to curries and rice
yeah.
from the Chinese. I think my stodgy days are behind me.
Is it? I had Chinese food, and I got really bad food poisoning.
Really?
And I lost like 5 kilos.
Where
I
was did you like, get the Chinese?
I'm not name and shading.
Tell me after. I could do with that. What'd you lose?
It was five kilos, yeah.
5 kilos.
And it was really bad. And then since then, I've found it really hard to eat Chinese food. And I kind of just realized, like, Anna loves it. She loves it. It's actually her favorite type of food. I don't like it. And she kind of sometimes says it. I say, oh, I don't like Chinese food. She kind of says that's racist. Is that racist that I say I don't like racist. Chinese food?
And is it even
Irish
Chinese?
Chinese. Like, I'm not talking about, like, what, you know, there's insane amounts of food that are made like by the 1 billion people in China. But I mean like the specific type of cuisine that's made in Chinese, like a 3-in-1 and, you know, like that kind of noodles and stuff like that I don't like.
Like local Chinese.
I don't like that.
There's one near you now called Starry Night, and that is actually, in terms of, you know, the way there's all like, yeah, the best spice bag in Dublin.
Yeah.
That wasn't had, you know, but you know, you get the idea. Actually, Starry Night.
You've been
really
pushing.
Delicious.
You, Harold Cross boys, have been pushing the Starry Night agenda.
It's not based in Harold's Cross.
It's actually based in Ranelagh.
There's actually no chippers in Harold's Cross anymore, wow. And that's a disgrace.
That is
there
a disgrace.
There used to be several. Yeah. And tell you what I missed about the chippers when they used to be able to get milk in the chippers. You can't get the milk in the chippers. You'd often get actually. This is show my age. It wasn't. They wouldn't give you a liter of milk. Get a pint of milk from the chippers.
Would you?
They're only the small carton.
Can you say milk
and
the chippers again? Or?
Milk and the chippers.
I wish I had headphones for that.
Fish and chips. Too.
Fish and chips. Milk.
Fish and chips.
We get some fish and chips, and while I'm in the chippers, I'll get the milk and the chippers.
Yeah. Just get, you know, could I get a bottle of milk as well? Not a bottle of milk, a carton of milk, a pint of milk.
What was your order in the chipper? What was your brother's orders?
When we were kids, we just got chips. That was it.
Yeah.
And,
what?
Yeah, that's what
so
we were allowed
dinner.
To have. It was dinner.
Fucking
dinner
hell.
Was just chips. You know?
Yeah, just chips.
This on the way to the fucking famine ship.
I'm sorry.
This is on the way to Canada.
You're obviously jealous that my parents are still married and in love.
That's I mean, awesome.
You're jealous about.
Yeah, okay.
They didn't need to, you know,
compete with each other.
Getting
fill me up with stodgy love.
When we moved to teenagers,
Tony,
we would
look
have
at all this chicken.
Oh, it kind of looks like Dad.
Maybe you could stay this week.
Sorry, as you got older, you got what?
We got battered sausage involved in the mix as we got older.
Yeah, yeah.
When I got with Raymond, he introduced me to batter burgers, which are just like a surefire way to have diarrhea, but they're so delicious.
He's kind of introduced you to more continental, kind of exotic things.
Yeah,
exotic
things like batter burgers.
Yes. Mm. I mean, he's really, yeah.
Yeah.
If you meet Raymond, you get that. He's kind of an academic kind
of the continent. I do still want to talk about the chipper, but I do want to compliment your amazing jumper that you have on here.
Thank you very much. I am pleased with it.
It looks like the sort of jumper that you would get in 1992.
What is this
in
called?
Pennies.
A false neck or something? There's something. It's like a.
It looks like it's like a half a polo neck.
Yeah, half a polo neck.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're watching.
But it
on
says
YouTube,
Maui Sessions. Does it? Seasons? No, Maui and Sons. It's kind of a surfing brand.
Is it?
It looks like it.
It could be.
It looks like
tie dye. It's kind of got tie dye elements.
Yeah, but see, there's also a bit of sun bleaching in that as well, I think.
Okay. Is there?
You can't buy
that.
Is it
secondhand?
Yeah, I try and buy as much vintage as possible, secondhand, preloved, that kind of thing.
That's great
and
for
this
you.
This one is from Nine Crows Vintage.
That's great for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. Saving the world. One last jumper at a time.
Like, you know, it is impossible to be alive now in many ways. Do you know how...
Go on.
Nice. Like, I just think, like, I have to worry about all this stuff. Like, I worry about like the recycling and all this stuff. And now there's like dads who can only now, the only thing they can talk about is the recycling.
Well,
bottle.
What do you think of the bottles thing? Have you been doing it?
I've been once. Actually, you don't have that many bottles and cans as you think. So.
This is the new bottle system.
I've been once.
I was like on holidays. What happened? What is it?
They've put 15 cent on the charge of everything that is a can
or
and
25.
A bottle.
Yeah.
Or
okay. So Fant. Like
Fant. Yeah.
Like they have in most of Europe.
Yeah. Yes. In Europe, we call that Fant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw.
But does that mean that the bottles are reusable? They go back into the system?
No.
The bottle that you drink from will get cleaned and then it'll come back into the system?
Everyone's pointing their fingers the wrong place. There is a sick problem here. One, well, I do think the man who runs that company, he is a cad and a bounder. I don't trust him. I think I said this in the podcast before.
Yeah?
I don't trust him. He's a cad. He's a bounder. He's a shyster.
He's a cad and a bounder?
Yes, he's a shyster.
What are you talking about?
I was reading Jane Austen.
He stole his wife and ran off with a young one.
Yeah, not a cod, a cad.
He's a cad and a bounder.
I don't trust him. He's like, this is going to be easy. This is going to be great. He doesn't wear a suit, you know, which normally I support, but actually, I don't know. But wait, people are then getting annoyed going, this system is ridiculous because I've been recycling my bottles, putting them in the green bin or the blue bin, depending on your local authority. I've been putting them in and it's gone fine. And other people, your man off News Talk, that guy who loves to rabble rouse, yes, he's a rabble rouser. And he was commenting going, you know, because a lot of people down the road aren't recycling. It's like, it's not. The problem is how bad our recycling is, because even though you do your best and you put your stuff in the recycling, if there's a bit of yogurt in the yogurt pot, that can actually knock the whole recycling bag off for your whole street.
Yeah.
And they're like, right, so this gets burned. System, right. Then. So that system is what's fucked up.
That's a bad system.
That's the problem. It's not actually, you can't be blaming everybody saying some guy down the road. And then, you know, who replied to it in commented on that was Rory Cowan, who is the guy whose job was working for Brendan O'Carroll and then got to be on Brendan O'Carroll, Mrs. Brown's Boys, and then loves to complain about everything.
This is some very local politics beef going on, just to kind of, because yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Brendan O'Carroll is, Mrs. Brown's Boys is worldwide global, so that's okay for
so
everyone.
So you should know that.
Rory global? Cowan is the guy who's in it, and you know, he was like,
I've literally
it,
thought
mammy.
That was a former Taoiseach.
Mm. No, you're thinking of Brian Cowan.
Brian Cowan.
Tullamore's finest fool.
Fine, then he's the one who, with his driving license. Doesn't have a driving license.
That's Barry Cowan.
Okay, which Cowan are we talking about?
Barry
here?
Cowan, who's now they're letting him run for Europe.
The grave in Saltburn. Ah, so I know who that is.
Yeah. Barry Keoghan.
Oh, sorry.
Fuck.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, there is, and he improv that. Anyway, that's enough. I'm not giving any airtime to the Barry Keoghan discourse. That's enough. Everyone, get over it. Jesus,
I love that. That's what you can do now. It's like, here, just figure it out. You're kind of grieving. I am gonna fuck it. Stop fucking everything.
You guys head off back, have some sandwiches. I'm just going to spend a bit of time at the grave here.
Yeah.
I will say, though, we are a great country for death and
grieving. We're a great country.
We're a great country for death and grieving. Barry Cowan's reaction to the grave included.
Brilliant. No, we're just we're storytellers.
We're storytellers. We saw the grave. We're storytellers.
We're song keepers. We're you know, sure, we're all the song in our heart.
Do you know what an Irish storyteller is? An Irish storyteller is someone who's like, here, do you know your man Wee Man? He's dead. That's an Irish storyteller. That, like, well, I don't know why we're making it all grandiose. I know three people who are good at telling stories of all the people who kind of hold court. Yeah, you know, my friends who would be chatting, and only three of them are good at telling stories. Do you know what I mean?
I do love watching it. I love any delusional person. I adore that. I adore to watch it as a spectacle. But I love someone who thinks they're a great storyteller, and it's so boring. I love watching them. I'm just fascinated by that. Mm. Like, it's like being in the zoo. I just love it. I'm like, what's got, except in the zoo, the animals are dead behind the eyes, whereas when I'm watching these people tell boring stories, it's me who's dead behind the eyes. Love it though. I just love it. I love a person who thinks they're something they're not. It's fascinating.
I think we should have a storytelling corner. I think next week one of us should come in with a story and maybe a shillelagh.
We could call
do
it
a Shannos, yeah. Little,
no, story.
Or a Shanachie bit.
Rory stories.
Someone has
or Shanachie.
Someone, Rory stories. Fuck, we're not called Rory. We'll figure something out.
My cousin's called Rory. Can he tell us a story?
Yeah, he can tell us a story. Come send a voice note.
He's coming to Vicar Street tomorrow, so I told him to come to the green room. So he also is a Head Stuff Plus,
so he
alleges. But we'll see.
What about Shane's Shanachies?
Okay.
Instead of Rory stories.
Shanach.
Join the Cast is back for its last stage. It's your turn to decide which will be your new favorite podcast. Whether you're into ghosts, fashion, GAA, anthropology, or the meaning behind names, just go to jointhecast.ie and vote for your favorite. The winner will get a podcast series worth €50,000 and will join Headstuff Podcasts. Vote now at jointhecast.ie.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Killian is, if people who watch on YouTube, you'll notice Killian's a bit closer, and I'm here for it, as they say.
That's great.
I was slowly like edging out. It was kind of that thing.
Edging,
I was
more edging.
I was doing some edging. Yeah.
Like yourself, nice
three
one,
in the bed, and little one said, roll over. But it was like that, but I was slowly rolling out of the frame. So people have requested on YouTube. There have been legions of people in the YouTube comments saying, get closer in. Yeah. So I am closer in now.
But the people who comment on YouTube are covered in legions as well. So that's
it. Legions. They follow sort of the Roman army model of describing themselves.
Into leprosy.
But we were.
Something cool.
I was supporting Shane Daniel Byrne in Belfast on the weekend.
Oh!
We were in the limelight, and you won't believe who was in the main room in limelight.
Who? Someone better than you?
Oh, my God. It was Dapper Laughs.
No way!
Dapper Laughs.
Wow.
It was mental. And we were...
He's back.
We were in our changing room, and the speaker...
Well, you were in my changing room.
We were in Shane's changing room.
That's good.
Yeah.
We were in Shane's changing room. He doesn't let me change in there. I'm allowed to sit down. That's it.
Only
that's
I may change. And I walk around naked for so long and make Killian watch, because that's how comedians do it.
Well, he does.
He must punish
he
the
He does
support.
Let me look at the ceiling.
It's fine, though.
And I'm but like, he, look at me. Look at me. And I'm completely, I'm like, look me in the eye, Killian.
And then I look.
Look at me. Look
and then
at
I
me.
Look at him and he goes, you're disgusting.
Yeah, you're getting paid, though.
And I
so
say,
it's
am
fine.
I disgusting? I was like, isn't that tiny, Killian? I make him say it. I just love it. I'm like, isn't that tiny? Say it. Say it's tiny. Killian's like, it's tiny. It's tiny. Yeah.
Oh, I can't believe you said that.
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting sacked.
But the pay is good. So
the pay is good. Yes.
Really not.
And it's not a secret.
But Dapper's his speaker was like directly below us. It was. I've never been in a room so much where the noise from another room was just felt like it was in the room you were in. Felt like we were at the show. And like the stuff he was saying, there was like, when Shane was doing a show, I don't watch this full show because I've seen it a few times. So I was sitting there and I was taking a pause by myself and I could just hear Dapper's thing. And for about 5 minutes, he was just going like this. I want to buy a dildo. I want to get a dildo. I think I want to get a dildo.
That sounds good.
Just like that for like 5 minutes. And then he was getting, so he's pointing at some woman in the audience going, you love a big cock, don't you love? You love a big fat cock. Wow. Just like that.
And when he says
things,
the
it?
Audience scream, yeah. As if
they, oh, it was as insane how much they loved it.
That's great.
It was crazy. It was.
No, he was kind of horrible.
He was hot. Yeah, it
no,
was
he's bad.
Horrible.
I'm not a huge fan of his views on anything really, but I think the biggest thing I was disappointed with him, because you know, he had like an ITV show lined up years ago.
Okay.
And then he dropped this whole Dapper. Remember, it was all Dapper Laughs. He was like, this whole Dapper. And then he dropped it and he was really disarming. And he was in an interview and he's like, a different voice. And he's like, I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry.
That
for
was
what I said.
Mental.
He pretended to be a different person. Like, he pretended to be, that's not me. This is a character I play. Dapper
yeah,
Laughs.
He was wearing like,
he put on a
like
new
a,
voice.
He was wearing a turtleneck. Not
the
similar to what you were wearing
OG,
there.
There's a comedian called Jade. What's her name? Oh my God, I can't think of her
Jade
name.
Goody.
No,
she
not
wasn't
Jade
a comedian
Goody.
And she's dead.
She had a special Amazon Prime called Serious Black Jumper, I think it was called. Or, no, maybe some...
Oh, right.
But
so
the way they always... That. Yeah, yeah. The way they always make apologies with a black polo neck on.
Yeah. Well.
But he was the first kind of... He came and he had this whole character where he's kind of like, you know, just saying...
doing
his sausage love
yeah,
and all this kind of stuff.
Quite
I remember watching it, like, and it was the first time you saw someone being funny online in that kind of way.
On
Vines.
Vines.
On Vines and stuff. And you're like, oh, this guy is gas, even though, like, I was young, so whatever. But
same time kind of Mo Gilligan was getting big.
Yeah, and then he comes out and does this like Newsnight interview.
Yeah.
He gets a proper platform, like a big thing, something that like
kind of the first thing people might even know him for.
Yeah,
like on the TV.
And he was like sitting cross-legged as if he was like a kind of like an actor. Like
yeah.
he might have had a skull in his hand
kind of
a, and said, "Alas, dear York."
Kind of a kind character of, that I
and,
play.
Yeah,
and I
like,
didn't mean anything.
No, the Dapper character, which kind of I put on, is sexist and says horrible things. But that's just a character I'm playing. All the time, and had been playing for the last 30 years of
that,
my life.
That voice is a fake. He made up a fake person to say that he's not that person.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then after that, the show didn't happen, and I felt like, oh well, like, could you not just like hold? I know we don't like what you're saying, but can you not hold to the conviction of the thing that we don't like you saying? Do you know what I mean? I'd respect, I'd almost respect that more. I totally get people not wanting ITV to platform is kind of sexist and chauvinist humor, and they can certainly have their right to do that. But the whole idea, can you not just like, if that's your thing, then people can kind of go there and go privately and get private little fucking kicks from things that they're not supposed to hear. But then all I see from him now on TikTok is his podcast where he's like, oh, I was on the bag and my kids saved me from getting too much on the bag.
Yeah, yeah.
I love actually watching coke addict, recovering coke addict TikTok and people like telling stories like, this guy's like, every morning I would wake up and I would drive to work and I would stop by at the drugstore and I would buy 8 little pineapple vodkas and I would down that shit. And then I'd go to my car and I'd jerk off and I'd rack up lines. And then I'd go in and see whatever hot secretary was in that I was going to bang that day. And then I'd go home and I'd be drink driving down the road and I'd hit another vodka and I'd do an 8-ball. And then I'd finish another, you know, and every comment is like, this sounds amazing. This sounds so good. Like, you are not. But what coke addicts like to do in the recovery is kind of like talk about how good things used to be, you know.
Yeah, they still talk like they're on coke.
They still talk like, oh, it was awful, I used to. And I'm like, you know, that does actually sound
there was
pretty
the
good
moment. He came out second half and was like trying to talk about his sobriety and stuff like that, and the Belfast crowd were not having it. They were just like real jacked and ready to go, and they were all locked. They were selling like their merch was like traffic cones on the head, and lads were walking around, you know, debilitated. And they were just wobbling around.
He's got a traffic cone hat as merch.
I think some people came with the traffic cone hat.
They were selling them as well. Okay. They must be a thing or something. And then
you must be
like,
when you were a kid, you put a traffic cone on your head.
But imagine being like absolutely off your fucking nut. And then a lad comes out before Dapper and says, listen, like, I know you guys are having a good time, but this is the period where we all get quiet and we listen to Dapper's story.
Daniel.
And then
he goes
Daniel,
by Daniel. Now.
Daniel. And he's like, you work really fucking hard on this show, like trying to go quiet. And the lads like the codes are just like, ooh, like that. And he's like, I've been sober. And the lads are like, I'm not fucking sober. I'm not. Dapper. It's Daniel now. Dapper.
Yeah, that's a real clash. Anyway, he said really horrible things as well.
Yeah.
So that's, I condemn him.
No, I don't like him.
I'm not
like
in the business of telling people what jokes you can make, but his were horrible.
He did make some really vile jokes.
I wonder when either of you decide that you just don't really want to write like new material and just want to kind of lean into whatever kind of cliche things you people know you from, what kind of show that will be, you know? Will it be like little people buying little Lederhosen hats for you, Killian?
Well, I can't wait Shane to go on to Claire Byrne live with a turtleneck and go, Shannon is just a character.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to do the same with Plune. Mm. Like,
Claire
Plune,
Byrne live is finished.
I'm not Plune.
Claire Byrne live is finished. I'll go on today with Claire Byrne.
Okay.
The 6 o'clock.
The character.
Can I have a car crash interview with Claire Byrne maybe on the radio? Well, I want to have a car crash interview.
And like, you know, will that last? Do you know what I mean? Does a car crash interview in Claire Byrne actually move the needle on anything?
There was the one that Maria Bailey had with Sean O'Rourke.
Sean
on
O'Rourke
the same show.
And
was
careers.
Well, I think you need to be on the back foot about something stupid anyway. Yeah.
I like to listen to those. I listen into Vincent Brown talking to, I watch that every now and then.
Donnelly.
Stephen Donnelly. I love that one.
People think of you, you absolute piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well, see what the people think of you, you complete arsehole.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
Yeah. I love a good political influence or political
influencer.
Interviewer. When they just pin people down in that kind of way, I like watching it. I'm terrible at it, but I like watching it.
I feel like there's been no feet over the fire for the Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government. It's just been so boringly bland. It's so boringly bland, and like, it's so hard to pinpoint exactly. This is all wrong, and it's so hard to pinpoint specifically. Like, I want a good fucking children's hospital, fucking, you know, dragged over to Cole's interview.
You want to protest outside the children's hospital?
No, but like, where the children's hospital is, I want someone to fucking lay into the metro. You know, I want someone
to
stand there.
That's what Holly Kearns was saying, the head of the Social Democrats. She was like, everyone's apathetic now, and because they actually can no longer imagine it being different. Has everyone gone apathetic? Should we, like, you actually right? I haven't think, like, the RTE scandal was a big bit of news, therefore. Yeah. We haven't been.
Even this referendum so boring, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like super boring.
We did get, I asked for...
Literally the National Women's Council was in touch with us because we mentioned those referendums.
Because we mentioned the referendum. I don't know if we should, but basically they kind of agreed with our line that whatever the Iona Institute is doing, you do the opposite.
That's true.
Yes, but there are also other people who are saying to vote no on the care one.
I think so.
I didn't even want to get into it.
Okay,
now
okay,
like,
but
yeah,
I don't...
Conor
McGregor said vote no on both, so I'm voting yes.
Okay. No, there's, I feel like there is a kind of like indie alt sort of hipster vibe to go yes, no. Everyone's going yes, yes, and then some people are saying yes, no.
Interesting.
I think there are good reasons for both. I just haven't looked them up. Again, the National Women's Council say a yes, yes. So I think I'm gonna take my lead from them.
I don't even know if I want families and couples being at the heart of everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are they at the heart of everything? Should they be at the heart?
You want a whole other amendment.
But like that leaves single people out.
Like what about amendment? Men. Where men. Are they?
Okay, amendment.
And what make sort, like, men. You know, men, the real issue is the last few years, men have suffered. Men have. Men. Why don't we put men into the Constitution?
Men.
What about that? Men. It's so tough to be a man. Do you ever notice what's the first part? Let me tell you this, right? Now, tell me this is no coincidence. When you say mental health, men come first in that, don't they? Mental health, you know?
Women
and men,
health.
You know, women, fantastic. I love women.
Oh, yeah.
You know I do.
Yeah, I do.
I have a mother.
You do?
I have a few female cousins, that kind of thing.
I like
And I used to say no to bodily autonomy. And then when I had my daughter, I just thought that could be my daughter sometime. In my baby daughter, who was an infant child. And I thought,
that you know,
in the future, she may want to have an abortion. Who am I to stand in my daughter's way?
You do a really good Tony. You do a very good
Tony. Tony is not like that.
That's a really good Tony.
Tony, did you vote yes on repeal the 8th? Yes or no, Tony?
Look,
it's a simple yes or no question, Tony. I don't know why I'm pressing you now for an answer.
No, I mean, at the time, you know, obviously we were getting the grassroots movement was in full fledge, and you know,
Tony, you've been asked a question. I've asked the question twice now.
I was not happy with the wording of it. I was not happy with the wording. I came back to vote. Did I? Was that no? I was living here. No, I had repealed it while I was living here. When was repeal the 8th?
You're obfuscating. I'm trying to get a clear answer. I'm trying to get a clear answer. Did you vote yes or no?
Getting some tweets in here news. Tony Cantwell is a big stupid idiot not answering the question. Anything to answer to that?
Well, I'd like to say that's neither here nor there. What kind of idiot I am? Very stupid.
If you could respond to the question, Tony.
No.
And what about the gays? What about those? How do you feel about those?
I think they
how
should
feel on that.
I
Did
think
you
if anyone should be
vote?
Having abortions, it should be them.
Right.
I'd love to meld the two.
My cousin, when the marriage equality referendum was on, remember there was two. There was also about the presidential age. Remember that at the same time we voted on that.
Born.
It was like, did you want the president to be under 35? And everyone was like, no one really cared. But my cousin, the woman gave her in the voting palace. I was going to say polling station. Polling. Welcome to the voting palace. And she gave her thing.
Key?
She said, "Now the green one is for the green one is for the president, and the white one is for the wedding."
Wedding.
For the wedding.
The wedding. Yeah. She skipped right ahead from the law, changing the law to like, you know, weddings. Mm. Yeah, that's what it's all about, weddings really, isn't it? Oh, I love a wedding.
Did you feel an obligation to get married after it was?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am. I just want that. I want what you have.
That's an option.
I feel like the gays were being the older brother to a younger brother. The younger brother has the thing, the older brother wants it, just wants it. And that's what I was. I was like, give me that. I want that.
Yeah.
And you're married, and I think that's a bit losery. No offense.
No, look, I mean, I didn't plan on it. It just happened. It was a bit of an accident.
What do you mean didn't plan on it?
Just
surely
like,
you asked.
No, just like, look, we're happy it happened, but like, we just wouldn't, you know, we were drunk, the ring went on, and look, we woke up next morning. You know. So look, I'm happy, obviously happy it happened. I wouldn't change it. But if I, you know, I probably would have just, I think about it. I would just say, if you're looking to do it, think about it. And just, you know, it was a very happy accident for us.
That's so romantic. And they say romance is dead.
I see this stuff at weddings. People are like, are weddings a little bit different? I don't know.
See, everyone says that. Everyone's like, look, we're not going to have the traditional wedding. We're not going to have the band.
Yeah,
we're not
going
to have the food. We're not going to have the... And then they actually plan a wedding. And they're like, okay,
of course.
All right, now I have to have 150 people here. What would I do? Well, I suppose a conference center would be big enough. It wouldn't be my first show. Okay. And what would they feed them? Okay, I suppose... Well, they actually do food there. So we'll just do whatever food. And they'll need entertainment. We get a band. And they work through all the things that they're like...
There's a reason people do all the things.
There has to be a place. They have to be entertained. There has to be food.
Who's your wedding band? Anyone cool?
The Mixtape. Which is the best wedding band ever. They were unreal. My friend Nisha's band, and actually Lango from Scratch was the drummer. And he was in it. I did. Actually, I sang Let's Get It On. Terry planned ahead of time.
Oh.
So that they were going to play Let's Get It On, and I sang in front of everyone.
Were there any dodgy speeches?
No, but I love long speeches. I feel like, and people hate this shit, and people are always like, oh, pass the pound and all this stuff. I fucking love long wedding speeches. I feel like there is, for most Irish families, one time to tell people how you feel, and that's a wedding.
Yeah.
This is the only time. So why are you putting a time limit on that? You know?
I was a best man once, and I did feel, I found it hard to write the speech because it did feel a bit like, you're also kind of eulogizing them, and like I was, you talk about how they made.
You can use the
their
same
impact.
Speech. Yeah, keep the speech.
Put it in the iCloud.
Put it in the iCloud.
How tragic!
Just to put it in the cloud because because it was like you're trying to say like this is who we are together and this is our relationship. But a lot of that, then you're talking about what they do for you, and then you're kind of like, aren't they great? Isn't he great? And I was kind of like, he's not dead, and you know, I don't know.
It just feels weird. Because there's no other reason to do it, you know. It feels it's foreign. Mm. That's why I like.
And I hate foreigners.
Yes, of course. Sorry,
I hate the band Foreigner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Got away with it.
That was fine. Yeah, they didn't notice that at all.
You should write an email to someone. You know, write an email that's like kind of like this isn't a wedding speech. I'd never do a wedding speech.
Big weddings are bad.
No,
alternative weddings are bad. Is just weddings bad? Is there any? Anything?
No, I like all those weddings.
Why can't I like?
I like big. I like small.
You're saying if this is bad, that is
bad.
Bad,
but I don't know.
Saying things a lot of time. You guys just say things are bad all the time. When I say things, and when you say things, I say they're nice things.
Okay,
that's fair. Okay, fucking
hell. Tell us what you like.
I like
Vegas wedding.
Vegas wedding. My friends got married in Vegas.
I'm happy for them,
but it's not that cool. It's all I'm debating. It's not that.
Have you ever met someone who's from Las Vegas?
Yes, Brandon Flowers.
Very cool that they're from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But like, it is a desert and it's usually just UFC fighters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Andre Agassi?
Is he from Vegas?
Yeah, he's from Vegas. See, and the way he reacted there proves my point.
I think Vegas is very just overrated. And I'd be more impressed if they were like, oh, we went to Blackpool.
I don't like it. Oh, that would be cool. Sorry. Yeah. That's okay.
You know,
point taken.
Went to the amusements in Blackpool.
There's no cool way to get married because getting married is so establishment. So there's no cool way to do it.
There's not a cool way.
Unless.
Okay. Hang on.
You could.
Oh.
No, hold on. What if I was to. I'll be right back.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'd like to see more platonic men or women marriages. I'd love to see people. I think there's a lot of guys who are like asexual and they just want to look at porn. Like, I think that they probably don't have it in them to have relationships. They probably just want to just, you know, look after themselves and play video games, but they probably want to have a pal.
And I think a lot of them listen to this podcast.
And a lot of them listen to this podcast. And
they've listened in the background. They've something else in the other tab.
Yeah. And they flip between volumes.
Come on. No. That's
come
disgusting.
Now.
Sorry. I've lowered the tone. I actually am sorry for that.
But I would like to see.
Welcome to Lower the Tone with Tony Cantwell.
Ever get farts?
Ever get farts?
The way they'd be like that? Ah, they're rank. I love them.
Lower the Tony Cantwell.
No, I think I'd love to see more lads just be like. Kind of what closeted gays do, which is kind of like, this is my friend Noel, you know? Mm. But like, it actually just is my friend Noel. And it's just like, if I have to bring someone to the christening, I may as well bring Noel and we'll play Switch together. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd like to see more of that, like partnerships that are not romantic be brought into the fray. People whose, maybe even a whole sexuality or a whole thing based
whole
on
thing.
This, like, I wank and then he does his own thing, but we kind of go to things together.
You're creating a whole
new type of
person.
Do they ever cuddle up?
No.
No cuddling up?
No. Kind of asexual, but
are you inventing these people, or do you know these people, or have you seen these people in society?
No,
or are you just thinking about these?
No, there's been a couple of things I've been at in the past, and I've thought, I wouldn't actually mind like my Jordan here instead of Terry.
This is nice. This is a nice christening, but better if Jordan was here. I'm gonna have a bit of crack.
Sometimes, you know.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Maybe
yeah.
I introduce an open relationship element, a non-sexual open relationship element into my relationship. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, just like a. Jordan lives in your house.
You could be to him as well, though.
Oh,
I'm just saying.
Okay, are you asking me to marry you?
I'm kind of looking for someone to bring go to christenings with. I'm looking for kind of a new boyfriend.
Okay, hey, I'll apply on Indeed.com like everyone else.
Yes,
but I do hope I have a reference through Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how I get on.
We'll see how you get on.
Can't give you a reference as a boyfriend. I can give you a character reference.
Give me a character reference. Hopefully that'll get me in the door.
As a character.
Oh, he's a character. Oh, God.
Oh, he's a real character.
Oh, he's a real character.
I'm not. I would not be known as a character.
Oh, I what, if you so. Heard someone was a real character, what would you think the person's alluding to if it was bad?
They're sick.
They're sick.
He's a real character. They're sick. But, yeah.
I would get like they're kind of touchy. Maybe touchy-feely. He's, yes. He's a character.
Yeah, he's a character. Don't let your wives and daughters near him.
He's kind of a racist and he gropes.
Yes.
He's a character.
Oh, he's a character.
Oh, he's a real character.
Yeah, like all those kind of weird Irish phrases that vaguely hide the yes. truth.
You know? Yeah. That Bilbo, he's a real character. From the book. The Hobbit.
Okay, that's different.
Mm.
Is Muse just gagging to be Radiohead? Is that what that was?
Are Muse just gagging to be Radiohead?
Yeah, is that what that whole
they
thing
don't
was?
They sound like Radiohead.
Think of
you need to listen to both of them, and then you'll figure it out.
You think I haven't listened to both of them?
Tom York, Radiohead.
Do you know what I find interesting? Shane is very a good singer, but he's not been in a band.
Mm. Yeah. What was your band's name again?
Oh, I'd love the Oxen. Yeah.
The Oxen. That was literally on last week's episode. We can't talk about
it again. I'm going to see Oxen tonight.
A different type of
different
Oxen.
Yeah, the band. They're in Oxen. Vicar Street. Yeah,
fuck off.
Rady Pete and from Lancome. It's going to be amazing.
Rady Pete's in an Oxen now.
Yes.
This is such horse shit.
Well, are you going to sue them?
Get them to change their name as well. Every band Rady Pete's in must change their name at least once.
I think they should change their name.
Yeah.
Yeah, they changed Lancome's name.
You probably had the merch made up, so
I did. I actually have a
traffic cone merch,
kind of a Comic Sans.
The traffic cone, oxen.
Traffic cone oxen.
Yeah, the traffic cone hat.
Why have you never been in a band, Shane?
I didn't have enough friends. Oh. No, I don't know. I wouldn't be in a band. I wouldn't have the confidence. I wouldn't have.
Ben Tony was only in a band with one other person. That's how many friends he had.
Yeah, it's true. I actually had lots of friends. So.
I'm an unwieldy singer. I don't really know about it.
I think your singing voice would suit. Maybe like Burt Bacharach kind of ballads, which would require maybe like 100 friends to do the whole orchestra.
So I'm very like Karen Carpenter. That's
I what think, you're yeah, may, maybe more like.
I have a really
I think
good
your
voice,
like, tower,
Karen like
the
that's
thing.
That's good.
With,
I like Karen Carpenter.
Voice like I'm in a band, voice like mine. I don't think the instruments. I think your voice would sit on top. Quite, it would be very, because it's a quite distinguishing voice.
Well, somebody has to be on top. Wow. I don't know, sorry.
But I blend
don't
in with the
remember
music.
Remember you told me you love me, baby. So you do trumpets, is that what you do?
Yeah, my singing voice is very like a trumpet.
Like a trumpet.
I'll just
brass.
Trumpet. I'll tell you, if trumpet back now, that's the next thing.
Trump.
Yeah. Don't you remember you told me to me? You said you were coming back this way again.
You said you were coming back this way again, baby.
Baby,
baby, baby, baby, baby, oh baby.
It's that part of the podcast where Shane and Tony talk lyrics from a song that Killian doesn't know about. This week they are doing
The Carpenters. Carpenters.
The Carpenters.
Together we are
a band from
the
what? The 50s?
70s.
70s. Mm. Come on. I know that there was a drummer, singer,
Karen Carpenter.
Also virtuoso drummer, but she doesn't get enough credit for that.
One of the great drummers.
I think she does now. I think like every 5 months you see the tweet of Karen Carpenter playing the drums.
Right. I experienced the Carpenters only through TikToks of Karen Carpenter drumming and singing at the same time. And people going, this was like an amazing person. But I feel like Billie Eilish, when she's like, who are the Beatles? Or whatever. I don't know if she actually said that, but someone said it would be
funny. She just didn't know who Paul McCartney was.
Yeah, something like that. That's how I feel. Well, you guys make me feel like that when you're like singing lyrics from the Carpenters.
If I was you and I didn't know the references older people were saying, I'd be getting a little fucking horn on me. I'd be loving it. I'd be just like staring in a mirror like fucking, what's your man's name? Something Gray. Fuck!
David Gray?
No, your man, the Oscar Wilde, he doesn't get older.
Dorian Gray.
Dorian Gray. I'd be looking at my little selfie mirror on my little black mirror.
I have a selfie in the attic.
Yeah.
I prefer the picture off. Of David Gray.
Me too. Please forgive me if I act a little strange.
That album in every
White Ladder.
Every mother in Ireland.
Every kitchen.
It was just insane.
I hated that song with the words so White good. Ladder in it. Yuck.
No, I don't like
amazing.
That.
I like
every track.
I like that one.
I'm not a huge fan of it. I love Sail Away, Goodbye.
Sail Away, Goodbye.
That's from my favorite.
I'll play that at my wedding and funeral.
Oh, that's great.
Do you know what my family have? We have a little playlist of songs we're going to play at our funerals. We put that together at Christmas.
Fucking yeah. What's morbid? Yours, Baggy Trousers?
No, I don't really want to share them now.
Oh, what fun we had.
Oi, oi. Baggy Trousers.
Baggy Trousers. Mass ball. No,
the other one. In the middle of
our street. Is that one?
Yeah, no, that's not one.
Oh.
No, mine. I have one from John Sebastian, who was in The Love and Spoonful, who's saying,
Johann Sebastian Bach.
For a daydream.
Oh, that's a lovely
not
one.
Not that song, but he has that. Yeah, I have one from him.
I might just, as a joke, do the Scat Man for my funeral song. I just think it'd be really funny. It was a very solemn moment. And, just to, for a final note, Killian really wanted everyone to hear this.
We'd all be laughing going, That fucker.
Oh my God.
I would
almost fake my own death just so I could see my own funeral.
Love to see my funeral.
When Bob Odenkirk had that heart attack or event, that health event last year, the year before, and everyone started tweeting about, oh my God, Bob Odenkirk. No, he kind of got to have a look at what it'll be like when he dies.
Oh, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah, he had some kind of health event and people like very big high profile people like Sarah Silverman and everyone was like, no way, not Bob. And it was like, he was still alive. Of course he was, because he is still alive. But like everyone was like saying what they loved. People jumped straight into that mourn a celebrity's death and it was like, stop, he's just sick at the moment.
Oh, so there what was, can we do then?
We were on the plane coming back from America and another Irish comedian was on the plane. Well, Anna saw someone who she thought was another Irish comedian. And she was so scared of the plane. But like something that kind of brought her solace was that she was like, God, imagine what a coincidence. Like if we crashed, the news would be like Killian Sunderman and this other comedian. And then she went, then her logic in her head went, that's so unlikely that two comedians would be on a plane that crashed.
Yeah.
There's no way that would happen. I've never heard of something like that happening in the news.
Day,
and then
the
she went,
no,
but then she was like, so the plane's not going to crash.
Who was the other comedian?
Al Porter.
Oh.
But it wasn't Al Porter.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, you pushed me.
I didn't push you. I asked you once.
It was Al Porter.
No, I could feel with your eyes.
It was Al Porter.
No, but it wasn't. It was Anna thought it was Al Porter. And then she was like, imagine on the news, it'd be like Killian Sunderman and Al Porter both die on the same plane. And then
your
she
legacies
was like,
are also will be the exact same.
The couple were seen canoodling on a Boeing.
No, but then she was like, there's no way that would happen. So therefore, the plane is fine. And she totally relaxed.
That used to be like a nun. People would look at that. Now it's Al Porter.
Someone who looks like Al Porter. Wasn't actually Al Porter.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Do you think that... I think if you died, it would be days of mourning, I think.
I don't think so.
National Day of Mourning.
I'd get a good run on Twitter. I'd say Twitter would go, and it sucks because I don't spend time on Twitter anymore, but I feel like Twitter would... I want to be somewhere else. I want to be... I'd get, in some people's stories, there'd be a photo of me.
I think you might get an Aches profile spray painted on the side of a building.
Can I just say, we're recording this. Be very careful because if you do die then... This is what will be played.
Oh yeah. Okay. Viking.
This exact conversation.
Put me on a boat.
That's true. They do that.
Sail me out. Put me on a boat.
You know, the celebrities of a certain age, like actors and stuff, will find a way. I think they produce it themselves when they're kind of like into their 70s. They'll have a moment and they go, "When I look back, my legacy. How would I want to be remembered?" Funny question. I suppose as a storyteller.
Let me go home.
You know, and they'll just
play in the background or something.
Yeah. But they do, they get it down, make sure that's recorded, how they'll eulogize themselves. Me, I suppose, not as an actor, I suppose, as a father.
For making just people chuckle.
Just telling stories and bringing characters to life.
I'd want every funeral to be really upset and sad. Maybe I'd like my widow now to never marry again and none of my children to ever marry as well, out of respect.
Yes.
And I wouldn't want anyone to look back fondly. I would want everyone to just be really upset that I'm gone.
I'd want everyone...
And for a mark to be left forever.
Mm. I'd want everyone just to know that I really, really didn't want to die. And I'd love to still be around. And
shit. Fuck.
And
this
in
is
my
awful.
Final moments, I
this
was
is awful.
Terrified.
This has happened.
Terrified.
I'd love to still be there and...
Have you seen the Irish lad who put like some sort of microphone? That is ultimate piss taking. They're lowering the coffin, and he put like some sort of
he recorded his
speaker
own
in the coffin, and it's him knocking on the thing, going, "Let me out! Let me out!" That's such a level. Yeah. There is no decorum. That's a commitment to the bit.
What a level of shithousery.
Yeah.
That's just the great thing about, I don't know if it's been said, like, we're just very good with death. We're just
Irish
very,
people.
Yeah. Irish people are very good with death.
People don't say that enough, actually.
Yeah.
We should acknowledge that. Yeah. In Ireland, we're just great with death.
Yeah. We're awful.
We deal
with
grief so well.
You died during the famine. Loads. We were grand. Yeah. We didn't care.
But I wish that we did lean into the Samhain thing a bit more. Like, I think we've lost, like, I think we used to have, like, thousands of years ago, a good attitude to death. Mm. But I really do think that there's no day on Samhain where you're kind of talking about people who are dead, you know?
Yeah. Like,
and that's,
is that what that's about? It's
supposed to be, yeah.
I thought part it was like,
I didn't talk about it.
You're leaving out feasts for the souls because the thin veil between worlds
is at its
thinnest.
I know that, but I didn't know it was, I thought it was kind of more like the creatures from the other side or the people or the beings. I'm almost like scared that I said creatures now and they're going to be pissed off.
They're going to be coming for you now.
But like the beings from the other side are more likely to appear and the fairies and stuff like that. Like the
it's all souls.
People from the other world.
Halloween is all
souls.
It's also
like people who have been dead and stuff.
Well, like I think it should be Halloween should be more important than Christmas because it actually is kind of like this tradition of actually mourning, like it's a 1,000-year-old tradition of mourning at that time.
Yeah,
you know that you should sit around and think about everyone that's dead and tell funny stories about people who aren't there, and if anyone's recently grieved or if anyone is in the process of grieving, maybe you invite them over to your house, and maybe maybe everyone's trying to find the young hot grieving person that year who's lost like a juicy one, like a ma or a dad,
grief,
or like.
Yeah.
You know, if you lost a man, fuck, I'm hoping to get him for my Samhain deal.
Those, the Irish stories, like, I remember, I was scared of horror films for a long time. Then I started watching them, and I was like, oh, these actually aren't scary. I'm fine watching these.
Yeah.
There's no fear that I've ever had, like, when I was younger and, like, getting told an old Irish ghost story. They scared the living shit out of me.
What's one moment or image that stands out?
I remember just ones where it's like, you know, it's like a man like at night walking along a hill and then, you know, he sees some like beautiful woman and she's like, oh, do you want to like, you know, come with me, come with me or whatever or something like that. And then come with me. And then he's on the way home to see his wife and his kid. And then he goes off and he dances. He has a great night and a great party and he dances under the mountain with all the people. And he comes out and this bit always scares me so much. And he continues into town and he's like, where the town was? He's like, he can't find his house. And it's like, there's just loads of bushes where his house was. And he's like, where's his wife? And then he goes up to the thing and everything looks different and the people and he doesn't recognize the faces. And then he like eventually realizes like 300 years have passed.
Oh my God.
And his wife and all are long dead. And that always those kinds of stories, like that's not a specific one, but those kinds of stories scare the living shit out of me.
There's a lot of going
that
to
idea.
The fairy world and coming back and things are not at all what they seem.
Absolutely terrifying.
Ask,
banshees as well. Awful.
Love banshees.
So scary.
Yeah, my dad used to tell me terrifying banshee stories.
What?
Go on.
Well, he would say, and this was just purely because he was like, I don't know, maybe bored of God being the babysitter. So he abdicated that responsibility onto a banshee. But he was like, so look, don't get out of bed because if you do, you might hear a noise and you'll look outside and you'll see a banshee and the banshee will be combing her hair. And if she catches eyes with you, you'll see that her eyes glow bright red and she will throw her comb at you and it will pin into your neck and you'll be paralyzed. And then she'll take you off on her broom, made this shit up because she's not a witch, off in her broom and you'll have to live with her forever. And I'm like, that's pretty fucking intense.
Imagine living with a banshee. Like, I guess like you'd be scared after a while. You'd be like, okay.
Well, I think banshees get a bad rap. I think what they're trying to do is actually just remind people that you know, death is a thing that comes for us all.
Okay, but they don't need to put on like the big white, you know, and comb the hair and be all scary about it and scream. Don't need to scream. If you want to,
that's women for you, mate.
Sorry, but just,
that's women
I feel like when people are arguing with protesters, like, I want to less agree with you. It's like, I would have cared a bit more about death if you weren't screaming, waking up the whole neighborhood.
They're mourning. They're proper, you know, the way you see them, like those Italian, like, paid mourners who, like, just grieve and scream and throw
Keening.
Their body.
They have that in Ireland. That's
I know, but this is actually, someone told me this.
I didn't know the Italians
Bob Gallagher
did it.
Told me this.
He did like
there was one of the first mentions of any trans person in Irish literature is the Keening culture. There was trans women who would keen as part of the group, and there was just
queers love the tram.
They do.
What's the appropriate amount of like how regularly with a lack of regularity should one be thinking about their own death or the death of everyone they know and love? I feel like I think about those things a lot.
Do you? And does it give you a start and you kind of have to think of something nice?
Oh, it's coming. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two
every couple of minutes.
Is that okay?
No.
That's all right. I do sometimes, you know, in Barbie when she's like, do you guys ever think about death? And all yeah. like, what? And I'm like, okay, well, I know I'm not Barbie and live in the Barbie world, but I'm like, I think of that all the time.
Well, you were wearing a really nice pink top, so.
It's very morbid.
Did you just call me a faggot?
No. You can't say that. Only gay people can say that.
Yeah, you're yeah. not gay anymore. You said gay. You wanted to be married to I'm a man.
I kind of have a kind of a low level kind of like awareness of it at most times.
Okay, grand.
But it helps me kind of like look at the, you know, look at nice weather in a nice way.
This is what I want my the podcast to be. I want the podcast
Michael
to be for people.
So scared of dying. Like, we're obviously all scared of dying, but he's like quite vocal about it. He's always going like, oh, fucking terrified, man. He'd be like just chatting to, he'd be like, yo, Michael, aren't you real scared of dying? He's like, man, fucking scares the shit out of me. He's like, absolutely terrified. Don't know it's what mad. Happens. Like, fucking scary as hell. Yeah. Dying? No, thanks. It's like,
it's such an obvious take.
Yeah, it's so obvious. But, like, but it's so obvious. I don't know anyone else who said
man.
That.
That'd be so shit.
I fucking hate to die. Do you know what, lads? Yeah. We wouldn't be able to fucking do this. Like, there wouldn't be, who knows what happens, you know? Fucking, yeah.
For me, I'll be up there with, what was he said? Phil Lynott. And
Phil Lynott, yeah.
Oh, man.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And we'd just be fucking discussing, because I've got a lot of ideas, actually, that Ruth, RBG, that you know, I think she'd RBG, be interested in. You know, playing chess with Ruth.
Yeah.
Jamming with Phil.
Jimi Hendrix.
We had this Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I might have told you about this already. We had this, my friend Kathy illustrates book, and she did one like on
Kathy Burke.
Women. Kathy Burke. Yeah. She did one on Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And so she gives us all of her books, and the kids are reading them. So Sonny was like telling my mom, like, will you read, you know, when he was like two, will you read me this book? And she's like, what the fuck is this? Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And she's like, why isn't this like Snow White or something? So she was looking at it, and she's like, what's the story of that book? Like, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I'm like, oh, look, we just get it. And then we were in the car, and Ba Ba Black Sheep was playing. Right, but it was like the one that is a really long one.
Tune.
So like now they were going through all the colors, right? Mm. So now when we turned on the radio, we started playing "Ba Ba White Sheep," and she's like, "My man lost at this point." She goes, "Sorry, Ruth Bader Ginsburg books and Ba Ba White Sheep, but you can't even say black anymore." like she just like got this like perfect all this of the overwoke, different... you know, shit. And I'm like, "No, ma'am, it's just there's pink sheep and there's blue sheep, and we just got a book on Ruth Bader Ginsburg."
Let me guess, Tony. All the colors of the rainbow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever stop shoving that gay agenda down our throats? Us straight people don't want that. I'm ex-gay. I'm going to become one of them. Get loads of good airtime. I feel like I could get in lots of documentary slots. If I
Or you'd be
like,
guaranteed slot on GB News.
Yeah.
Could you
just as a test, could you try and use the gay agenda for something that's like not cool and just make like the gays are fawning over this thing so that it can make it really trendy?
Well, yeah. No, we have miserable lives, so we do it already. Look, I mean,
yeah.
God, it's a dark culture. I mean, insidious, just...
Yeah.
Lonely, I mean, cruel, vindictive, spiteful, bitchy. But I mean, who wants this lifestyle? Mm. I don't know why they choose to be gay.
Yeah.
They
should choose it the other way around.
They are choosing to be gay.
When did you choose to be straight?
I think when I saw
that was always the video that went, you see that right. Line. Yeah, when did you choose to be gay? When did you choose to be straight?
When I saw Jessica Rabbit's tits in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I choose that.
I used to like the bit in that. I used to do it.
You know, my axe. You know, and my axe.
And my big tits.
You know, when you're a kid and you have your little bits that you do. Did you like that? So one of mine was that he'd like, move it or lose it, tuts.
That's good.
The baby that could talk and smoke cigars. I used to do him, move it or lose it, tuts.
Moment in The Three Musketeers where it looks out the window and the guy.
Chris O'Donnell, Three Musketeers.
No, and he goes, you coward, I spit on you. And we used to say that to each other a lot.
Okay. That's fun.
That's just the thing we used to say. When someone was looking down from a window, down on the others, and it says, you coward, I spit on you.
That's fun.
The kids just catch on to things.
Come with me if you want to live. That's what we'd always say.
That's kind of one.
Terminator 2.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Or if someone's coming, if you're going somewhere, someone's coming with you, you go, you're coming with me.
Oh, that's fun.
Shrek. That's Shrek.
Oh.
That's a very sexy Shrek.
You're coming with me. Back to the swampy.
Swampy.
Back to the swampy time.
Swampy donkey.
I'll show you who's a donkey.
I'll show you.
Let's see who's a donkey now.
I've got
these are no ears.
I've got
They're
the
cocks.
Three. I've got the three little piggies.
They're naughty little piggies. And I got a little wolfie.
I'm going to shrek
that
your
wolf
hole.
Will blow your house right down. Come inside the swamp. You know what's funny about a swamp? Nobody ever fucking leaves. You ever notice that? You've got snaps.
You've got Farquaad coming later.
I'm going to park my bike in your arse cheeks.
Anyway, that's terrible.
Anyway, that's the Young Hot Guys.
That's the Young Hot Guys podcast today. And
I loved this vibe, though. I have to say. I feel it was very intimate. I felt like it was, ever since you said, let's stop pretending to be fake phonies, positive phonies. You know, I think it's been really positive and really kind
and
of...
And I'm turned on.
And sex positive.
Very sex positive.
And Banshee positive.
Yes.
Pro Banshee.
Pro Banshee.
Well, yeah. I'm not on pro Banshee, but I am pro-choice. So.
Pro Banshee. I just like saying that. Sorry, just has a nice ring to it. Pro Banshee.
Pro Banshee.
Pro Banshee.
Pro Banshee and goodbye. We are finished our podcast today, and we enjoyed you having you with us, and we hope that you enjoyed being there with us too, right there in the middle of it.
Absolutely wonderful. And if you'd like to listen to some more of this absolute bullshit, you can do so over on Headstuff Plus, where you can listen to the bonus podcast, which is out every single Tuesday, I believe it is. And it's only the price of a pint, and you can support us over there.
Thanks. And do you know that at this time of year, the veil between the bonus podcast and the main podcast is as thin as possible?
It's Lenten.
So it's the easiest time to get in, because the veil between the two podcasts is as thin as possible.
Yeah, and I've got tickets to Vicar Street on Friday the 8th of March. If you're listening to this in the present, then please come along. I'd love to see you there.
And they make a great present.
I will be there as well. As I said, the veil between the support act and the main act this time of year.
It's never been thinner.
The veil between you two and your little comedy fucking tour and me has never been thicker. And I can't fucking breathe.
Do you
want
to come to Vicar Street for the drink?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
come on then.
All right, we'll see.
Don't know if we can. I have to figure it out. Babysitter and all that.
Ugh.
Just whatever. Use the Banshee, get the Banshee to babysit.
I might do, yeah. Take them away for a while. Anyway, bye.
Anyway, bye.
Loud
and a little bit sad.
He was the best guy around.
Oh my, is it hot in here or what?
You're an attractive guy. It's the fabulous Tony Cantwell.
We're talking about Shane Daniel Byrne.
Idiots on the ball!
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Headstuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.